like to once again thank Almighty God for allowing me to come and to study another portion of his word with you all. Have a very loving place in my heart for this particular congregation and the stands that she has for the truth. I am thankful that those who have come with us have one of my elders and one of my deacons with me and a host of members, and we're so thankful for them and just can't thank them enough for just coming and supporting the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we think of salvation, we can't help but think of our God. And what a powerful theme that has been chosen this year, proclaiming Christ, called unto salvation. Wouldn't you want to hear the words from Jesus the Christ? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. But in order for man to hear those profound words from our loving master, Jesus the Christ, they must answer the gospel call of salvation. And this is why it is important for us as God's people to take the gospel to this known world. And I can't help but think about where to start, starting with the young people. For it is our responsibility as parents to instill the gospel into them in order that they may go out and teach those who are of their age and even older, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power to save man from his or her sins. For the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." When I stop and when I think about soul winning, I can't think about what was said long ago. One cannot be a soul winner unless his soul has been won over. And when we stop and we think about this, this will take all of the fun and games out of the souls of men. I truly believe that this lesson here is not only geared for those who are young at heart, but those of us as well who are older. For we must take the gospel to the world. Nothing else has the power to save man. This is why it is very important that we know what the gospel is ourselves. This lesson is intended to encourage our young people to know the importance of soul winning and to discuss how they should be a positive influence among their peers, and not only among their peers, but everyone in whom they come in contact with. This lesson is intended to encourage you now, to let you know that you can be an influence right now, and you don't have to wait till you get my age in order to be an influence for Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, many believe just because they're young at heart, they're young of age, that they have plenty of time to take the gospel to the world. That's not my forte right now. That's not really what I want to do right now. But brothers and sisters, James said in the long ago, "What is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeared for a little while, then it vanisheth away." We don't know when we're going to leave this world. We don't know when we're going to die, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. With these things being said, we want to concentrate this evening on spiritual matters, on those things that really mean something. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, "What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus, what are you saying? He's saying that the soul of man is more important and more valuable than any possession that a man could ever attain. And since that's the case, brothers and sisters, young people, since that's the case, you have to know what's important to God. And when you know what's important to God, then that will become important to you as well. When we think of the greatest achievement upon the earth, it is not building up your 401k. It's not buying the best house in America. It's not buying the best car. It's not being whatever you think you ought to be, but it is being a child of God. And this is our main aim on this evening, is encouraging our young people to see the importance of helping the world to become Christian. And more I thought about this lesson, Brother Carly, the more and more I thought about how we have the responsibility, and not only the responsibility, but the privilege of going out and telling people the gospel, the more I see what is important to God. The question is it important to us? We must understand that faithful obedience to death will reap us a crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse number 10. As young people, as you deal with the challenges of this world, trying to be a Christian yourself, I need you to stop and think about that for a second. Because some of us are under the impression that being a Christian is just showing up on Wednesday and Sunday because my mom and dad made me come. But being a Christian is not only attending the Lord's worship, even though that is very important and it is commanded, but it is a lifestyle. It is a relationship that one ought to develop with his or her God. We're earthen vessels for God. And it's important for us to carry out the Great Commission as was given to the apostles, to the disciples in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. When Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go!" Brethren, the same commandment that was given to the apostles has been given to us. And it is a solemn command. It is a sacred commission. And when we stop and we think about this solemn command, this sacred commission that was given to the apostles and by implication has been given to us, brothers and sisters, friends and family, young people, you can't help but go out and tell people about Jesus. Being evangelistic is not only a charge, but a privilege and an honor for one who is laboring for Jesus Christ. One who is working for God is God's servant. I'll be right where y'all want me to be in a minute. Just be patient with me. Jesus, the greatest example that has ever lived on the face of the earth, was a preacher. He evangelized. He talked about the coming of the kingdom. His mind was set where his Father was. And isn't it ironic that in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1, we ought to set our minds on things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the throne of God, setting our affections where Christ sits. I have a question real quick, and then we'll get into some of our points. This is all introduction. How is your relationship with God? Do you value your relationship with God? Are you developing your relationship with God? Those are very powerful questions. And those are only questions that you yourself can answer. And one thing I love about this study here, it doesn't matter how old you are, even though our focus is on the young people this evening, it doesn't matter how old you may be, you can always develop your relationship with God to a more deeper level. It doesn't matter what age you are. You don't have to wait. You can be 13, 14. You can be 10 years old. You can start developing your relationship with God, a healthy relationship with God, right now. I was told yesterday, as I was sitting in the barber's chair, a gentleman told me, "I have plenty of time. I have things I need to get out of my system first, before I labor for the Lord." And I couldn't help but think to tell him, and I did, "You don't know where your life is going to end. You ought to be striving to develop a relationship with God now." Three quick things, and then the lesson will be yours. Number one, if we're going to help the world to become Christian, we must develop a healthy relationship with God. Number two, we must have genuine concern for the spiritual well-being of our peers. And number three, we must have courage to discuss spiritual matters with our peers. Now, I want you to stop and think about those things real quick. Because having a healthy relationship with God is not only important, but it is valuable because the God of heaven, who spoke all things into existence, he is the one that wants to have a relationship with you. And since God wants to have a relationship with you, shouldn't we desire to have a relationship with him? And the only way that we're going to take the gospel out to a known world and have the enthusiasm, have the passion, and have the wherewithal to take this message, brethren, we have to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Matthew 27:37-40. A healthy relationship. A healthy relationship is based upon certain things being in place. Number one, is based upon you giving your whole self to God. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What do you want from me, Jesus? I want you to give me your whole being. If your relationship is going to be full, if your relationship is going to be valuable, if your relationship with God is going to mean anything, you have to first say, I'm going to give my whole self to you. You can't give God 98%, 99.9%. You got to give God 100% of your being, and you have to do it now. That's encouragement, brethren. And the reason why that's encouraging, because God gave us 100%. He gave us his son. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God gave us 100%. Why? Because he wanted to have a relationship with mankind. And the only way he could do that, he had to give his son. Well, when we stop and we think about these things, soul winners, having a healthy relationship with God, I want you to consider some things that are in the manuscript. Number one, we must understand that our relationship with God is important. Number two, we must recognize that Jesus has all authority. If your relationship with God is going to be healthy, he has to be number one. And this is the problem with the world. They want to be number one and have Jesus number two, or number three, or 1,003. Y'all smile, it's okay. But Christians must have Jesus first. God must be first in our lives if we're going to have a healthy, balanced relationship with God. But how do I do that, Brother Bonner? How do I go about having this relationship with God? I'm talking to Christians now. Number one, by studying his word. The Bible tells us very, very clearly, John 5:39, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must investigate the word of God. We must spend time with the word of God. Why? Because of our desire. And if any man hunger and thirst after the word of God, he shall be filled. But you have to start it off. You have to give yourself. But then you have to pray. You have to have a good prayer life. You must pray without ceasing. And you must be able to go to God with all of your concerns. And I truly believe that this is one of the problems I know that I have every now and then. It's hard to give God everything that's in your life, everything that's in your mind. But I guarantee you that if you desire to have that healthy relationship with God, you must give all to him. And he's big enough, he's gracious enough, And he's loving enough to help you deal with it. That's the God we serve. If you desire a healthy relationship, you must have proper respect and reliance upon God and his word. Now, I want to stop here for a minute. It hurts me to my heart when men stand up with iron fist and try to put on plays like Corpus Christi. Maybe y'all don't know nothing about that. It's a play that depicts Jesus Christ as being gay. Our Lord and Master being gay? How can one have a healthy relationship with God if the one in whom they're serving is a sinner himself? Now, I want us to stop and think about this for a second. I'm just going to be off for a second here. We must stand up for truth. We cannot allow people to talk about our God as if our God doesn't deserve to be stood up for. Period. And I guarantee you that when your relationship with God is healthy, you'll stand up for the truth. Young people, you have to make up your mind now that you want to stand up for the truth. That you want to go out and seek and save the lost. And when these characteristics and these attitudes are in us, it helps us to appreciate God for who he is and what he stands for. I don't know about you, but a healthy relationship with God will help me to be genuinely concerned with the salvation of my peers. How can we have friends who we know they are lost and not say anything about Jesus Christ? How do we go to bed at night knowing that our peers don't know Jesus for the pardoning of their sins and not say anything? Should hurt us. It should hurt us to our hearts. Why? Because God desires for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? God is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, with not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. God wants all men to be saved. And when I have a genuine, healthy relationship with God, I'm trying to influence everyone in whom I come in contact with in one way or the other. Well, having a genuine concern for the souls of men is important because it's important to God. And as young soul winners for Jesus, it is in our best interest and also in the best interest of those in whom we come in contact with to tell them about Jesus Christ and the Lord's church. Why? Because we know that it's only through the power of the blood of Christ that a man can have his sins washed away. And we have to convince our young people. Young people, I'm trying to persuade you this evening. I am trying to use measures of persuasion to get you to see the importance of evangelism. But you got to know God first. I know that's bad English, but that's good understanding. You have to know Jesus for yourself. And the problem, and this is what's wrong with the religious world, we have too many religious quacks in the pulpit and in the classrooms who don't know God's word, who are teaching people, and they're believing something that is not true. And if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. This is serious business. Christianity is not something that you do Monday through Friday. Christianity is something that you do every day. It's a lifestyle. Going to God is a lifestyle. Having genuine concern for your loved ones, your peers, is a lifestyle. I challenge you. I challenge you to talk to your friends about Christ, about the church, about worldliness and how they ought to come out of the worldly mentality. Paul said in Romans 12 and verse number 1, talking to the church at Rome, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. You see that? God wanted them to be holy. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when we have this attitude, then we can be genuinely concerned for those in whom we come in contact with. Genuinely concerned. You're concerned about their soul salvation. You're concerned about their well-being. And you portray that in your life as well. How? By being a friend. By being someone who's going to be honest. By being someone who is going to correct in love. Brethren, true friends do not allow friends to continue in sin. You know, we read the billboards all the time. And I believe we partially believe it. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. Friends don't allow friends to stay in sin and not say anything. It's a serious situation. And it's time for children of God and for congregations of the Lord's church to stop entertaining the young people as if that's going to help them to win souls. We need to use another term that starts with an E. We must educate. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, we see education there. We see fathers teaching their children when they raise up, when they lie down, when they walk by the way. Brethren, are we spending time with our children? Are we teaching them the word of God? Are we teaching them principles? The only way that they're going to be genuinely concerned about those who are lost, they must know the word of God. Hosea 4 and verse number 6, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. We must know. When you look into the scriptures, especially the book of John, 1 John, 2 John, hereby write these things that you may know. And hereby we know. Knowledge. We must know the word of God so we can be genuinely concerned for our peers. Those who are going through struggles in their lives, suicide at an all-time high, sexual immorality at an all-time high. Brethren, we have to do something. And we have to instill this into our children. Children, you must realize that when your friends are indulging in sin, you must say something. How are we going to help the world to become Christian? By standing up for the Christ. Standing against sin, allowing them to see the value of their soul. And truth be told, most people are walking around and don't even realize that they have a soul. And in the world in which we live in today, we have to be upfront with individuals that they do have a soul. And that their soul is going to reside somewhere one day. Well, as the information age continues to flourish, this is a good thing right here. You know, last year, and I have to repent, because I spoke against Facebook and all of that. I did. I have to repent. I ask that y'all forgive me for that. Because that can be a very powerful tool. I want us to stop and think about that. We was privileged to have a baptism out of Facebook. Young folk, y'all always on Facebook. I see you. And
can see some of y'all old folk on here too. It can be an asset if we use it for the glory of God. We ought to use those tools. And I guarantee you God can get the glory out of it. Why? Because you can be genuinely concerned about those who you make friends on your Facebook page. Well, how, Brother Bonner? By putting scriptures on your status, encouraging words on other people's status, commenting off of their statuses. We have to be spiritually minded. If we're going to use all of the tools that are out there, we, number one, must have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2 and verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when you look at verses 1 through 4 in that particular passage of scripture, he's talking about esteeming others better than self. When we teach the gospel, brothers, that's what we're doing. Jesus did it. Shouldn't we do it? Teach people the gospel wherever you can. Be an influence. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. The light of the world, the salt of the earth, the city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. You can be an influence. And you can speak against those things that are not right. Brothers, sisters, friends, family, I truly believe that we must have a healthy relationship with God, number one. Number two, we must be genuinely concerned for the soul salvation of our peers. And number three, we must have courage to discuss spiritual matters. I believe that's where we're kind of falling short. Someone might think that I'm a radical, I'm a fanatic, just because I like to talk about Jesus. Just because I want to talk about the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one church. Someone may think that you're a radical, you're conservative, you're talking like that. Why you keep bringing up Jesus in the church? Because of what Paul said, setting my mind on things that are above and not things on the earth. Because of what Jesus says, brothers, sisters, what keeps Christians from speaking about God? The same thing that keeps Christians from speaking about God is the same thing that causes man to sin: fear. Paul told Timothy that God has not given you the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, but power, love, and a sound mind. Why are we afraid to talk about spiritual matters? We can't be afraid. We must teach our children, don't be afraid to talk about spiritual matters. Isn't it ironic and isn't it amazing that we can talk about anything under the sun except that which is spiritual? And let me talk to the young people real quick, just real quick. Just because you want to talk about Jesus and someone else doesn't mean you ought to stop. Now let's think about that. Because sometimes we become discouraged, faint-hearted. Because people around us don't want to hear about Jesus. They want to talk about smoking and drinking and dancing and all those other things that mean absolutely nothing and are contrary to the will of God. I want to talk about worldly things, things that really don't mean a hill of beans when it's all said and done. We must have courage. What does it mean to have courage? It means to have God on your side and to rely upon him, to fully trust in him, that he can lead you through it. Brethren, some seven times God and Moses told Joshua, be thou strong and very courageous. Be full of courage.
We need some courage today in the Lord's church. Our young people need to be courageous. You need to be courageous for God. But the only way you can do that, you have to have the word of God in your heart. Psalm 119 and verse number 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. He goes on to say in verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you have God's word in your heart, that helps you to have more courage. And when you have the word of God coupled with courage, coupled with humility, you see Jesus. Oh, I can't help but be thankful for the example that Jesus had given us. And no wonder we ought to follow in his steps. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 21. Courage. Courage to do what God will have us to do. Why? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Young people, if you're in Christ, God is for you. If you're living right, God is for you. Psalm 46 and verse number 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How do you help the world to become Christian? By being a Christian yourself. By teaching them the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. By having a healthy relationship with God yourself. And I guarantee you that when you have a healthy relationship with God, people notice it. Especially Philippians 2 and verse number 15, you shine as lights in the midst of this crooked, perverse generation. We shine as lights. Why? Because Jesus, he is the light. And we are the light of the world. We are a reflection of Jesus Christ. And when they see us, they see the Christ. And when they say, I appreciate the life that you live, and you can't help but turn around and say, to God be the glory. How do we help the world to become Christian? By teaching them the gospel. By taking on spiritual matters. By challenging ourselves to be more Christ-like. And it starts in the mind. Brethren, I can't say that enough. What are you putting in your heart? Young people, what are you putting in your minds? Put God's word in your mind. And I guarantee you, your life will get better. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse number 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, literally in the Greek, with the Spirit's teaching. The only way you can do that, you have to spend time with the Word of God. And I guarantee you, you'll have the courage you need to stand up against sin, even in your own life. Quick application, and the lesson will be yours. All of us have peers and loved ones that are living worldly lives. And a lot of them are asking for help. They're just not saying it verbally. We have to have our spiritual eyes open. You remember in Luke 19, verses 1 through 9, come across the story of Zacchaeus. And Jesus saw Zacchaeus in that sycamore tree. There are people figuratively in sycamore trees of sin. Do we have our spiritual eyes open? Do we see them? But we have to have our eyes open. A lot of people are asking for help. 9 times out of 10, before a person takes their life, they're asking for help. When a person is depressed, they're usually asking for help. And young people, as much time as you spend with another, you ought to be helping each other to be more Christ-like. How do we help the world to become Christian? By being spiritual. Setting our minds on things that are above. Having a healthy relationship with God. Making sure that we see the value of the soul. Having genuine concern for our spiritual well-being and the well-being of our peers, and having the courage to stand up against sin in our lives and in the lives of others. May God bless you. May God keep you.